Hello, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now to talk about the basic gospel, how it intersects with your daily life, and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Christ Jesus. The number is 1-800-677-9377 if you have a Bible question or if there's something you need to talk about. Call right now. 1-800-677-9377. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive. That is the good news. And certainly the fact that he is alive, he does have something to say to each and every one of us right now, right today, regardless of the situation that we're in. And what he's going to tell us is certainly going to be good news to our ears, to our hearts, to our souls. And if we'll listen and apply it by faith, we will see incredible things take place in our lives. It all hinges on this resurrection of Christ Jesus. He is the good news of the Word of God. So let's talk about him today. 1-800-677-9377. On our blog today, we have an article titled, "What Does God Do When We Sin?" And we're always interested in knowing what we're supposed to do once we've sinned. Mm-hmm. And the Christian world has come up with lots and lots of different answers to that particular question. Most of them are just formulas that we've come up with. When you've sinned, well, this is what you need to do. You need to confess that sin. You need to repent of that sin. You need to ask God to forgive you. Check off those three boxes and you're okay.
Yeah.
And we check off those three boxes, and we think we're okay, and we go on our merry way and do the same sin the next day and go through the same formula. But I think if we will stop and ask the question, well, what does God do when we sin? We'll better know what we're supposed to do once a sin occurs in our lives. And that's the subject of today's blog post at basicgospel.net. We invite you to go there, take a read, make comments. We'll certainly be talking about that on tomorrow's broadcast. Would love to read some of your comments and see what you have to say. But there are seven things that I've listed there as far as what God does when we sin, and they're all positive. They're all beneficial to us. And if we'll grab a hold of those things, it'll make a big difference in our lives.
Without question. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel, and we appreciate the fact that you've joined us. We'd love for you to be a part of the broadcast by phone at 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, toll-free all across the East Coast, across the continent, and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, a complimentary note that starts off complimentary from Everton in the Bronx. He says, may God continue to bless Basic Gospel. You all are such a refreshing breath of fresh air on the WMCA airwaves. Now to his question, he says, and this is apparently is something that a lot of people have questions about. He says, I observe that most prophetic ministries, the ones that tell you that they have heard from God, usually promote tithing, like the tithe belongs to God, and if you don't tithe, you're under a curse. And the Lord said that the reason you're not being blessed is because you're not tithing. Sometimes in a service, they would even tell you that the Lord said, even if you have some money put aside for something else, you can borrow it, and in 7 days, you're going to be blessed. And those of you with your tithes, you can bring that too into the assembly. In other words, you could even go back more in return for the amount than the amount you sowed. I never got back 1 cent, he says. Also, they blurt out a lot of tongues in the church service at times. Now, I'm not condemning them or anyone here, just an observation, but I just want to hear the view that Basic Gospel has in perspective.
Well, thanks for that question, Everton. We certainly appreciate it, and it really gets to the heart and soul of the gospel message, and that's the fact that we now are in a new covenant with God, a covenant that Jesus ratified through his shed blood on the cross that is in effect today, and it's a covenant that is far superior to the old covenant, that Mosaic covenant, the covenant between the people of Israel and God himself. It's far superior to that because it's built on better promises, and it has a better priest. It has better laws. It has everything better about it than that old covenant. And why I mention that is because tithing was basically an old covenant practice. It was an obligation put upon the people of Israel to support the Levitical priesthood. Well, that priesthood kind of died at the cross. There's a new priest, a new priesthood. Jesus Christ is now our high priest, and all of us within the body of Christ now form a new priesthood called a holy priesthood. And so we're not obligated to tithe, to bring 10% of our food substances into the storehouse to support the Levitical priesthood. That was Old Covenant. We live in New Covenant. In this New Covenant, we're simply encouraged to excel in the grace of giving. Allow the grace of God to work in our hearts in such a way that we take the resources that we have, monetary resources, time resources, other asset resources, and we make them available in furthering the kingdom of God, meeting needs of people, supporting the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, all of those various things that we have opportunity to do. So we're to excel in the grace of giving, and that is a totally different thing than being under an obligation of giving a certain percentage, and then when you do, hope that you're going to be blessed.
Right.
I mean, here's the good news in this new covenant. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. There has not been one blessing that has been withheld from you as a child of God. You have it all. As Peter wrote, you have been given everything that you need for life and godliness. As Paul wrote in Ephesians, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. You have it all, folks. And so because you have it all, because you have those gifts of grace, allow those gifts of grace to do something in your heart to move you to a point of sharing your resources to further the work of God's kingdom, to advance the proclamation of Jesus Christ, and to meet the needs of those around you. It's a very, very simple thing. So how do you answer that question? You bring it back to this question. Which covenant are you in? Are you in the old covenant or in the new?
Yeah.
And if you're in the new, it's just great news for you. You don't have to try to give to get. You've already gotten.
Absolutely.
In Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Everton, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. And friends, if you're commuting at this time and can't get to the phone to pose a question while we're actually on the air, well, just drop us an email with your question, and we'll be glad to talk it through on the air. You can find the email link when you visit basicgospel.net. Right now, plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. As I said before, this is the reason we're on the air live every day, to address your questions by phone. So we would love for you to participate in the broadcast and pose your question right now, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from Bill in Utica, New York says, I have heard talk about the old Jewish sacrificial system, about the Catholics going to confession, and about evangelicals confessing sin to God. I believe that Jesus died for me and my sins, and he paid the penalty, but I don't believe in sinless perfection. I still fall into sin many times, and when I do, I confess it to God, as it says to do in 1 John 1:9. But I thought I heard you say that this verse wasn't translated correctly, and we never have to confess our recent sins to God, ever. Did I hear that right, or did I misunderstand you? Are you one of those who believes in once saved, always saved?
Oh, my gosh. Maybe guilty as charged there. Not because that phrase is in the Bible, once saved, always saved, but I believe the work of Jesus Christ was sufficient. His death, burial, and resurrection saves me completely. And if you've responded to that, his death, burial, and resurrection saves you completely as well. I mean, that is great news. But as far as confession of sins, I believe that confession of sins is as natural to the believer as breathing is to every single human being. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, when you sin, the light of who he is shines very brightly on that sin, and you agree with God concerning that sin. But you're not confessing in order to get forgiven. If you're in Christ, you've already received forgiveness. That sin has already been sent away. That sin has already been dealt with. So you already have the forgiveness that you're asking for. So thank God for it. Rest in that. Gets back to our blog post today, What Does God Do When We Sin? We're so wrapped up in trying to figure out what we're supposed to do. I know in my own life, and I'm sure many of our listeners out there believe this, or maybe you still believe this, but there was a time in my life that every time I sinned, I believe God turned his back on me. There were some Old Testament passages that seemed to indicate that, that God can't look upon sin, that God would hide his face from me. But when you look at those various passages, they don't say that at all. But we get that idea. I sin, God turns his back. Well, if God's turned his back on me, then I have to figure out something to do to get him to turn back around. And so we come up with all sorts of formulas. And this is what I did. I confess my sin. I asked God to forgive me. And then I hoped that he would turn around, but I was never sure. And if I wasn't sure, I'm sure of this, that I was going to sin pretty soon, and that was going to turn him back around if he did turn his face toward me. Yeah. So that's what I thought as far as my sin. But when you read the Bible, you see nothing of that in the Word of God. Here's what happens as far as God is concerned when we're sin, when we sin. First of all, he's done something about sin. He sent Jesus. Jesus died in our place. Jesus took our punishment. So one thing we know that he doesn't do, he doesn't punish us when we sin. All of that punishment went upon Jesus. So here's what he does today. First, he reminds us of this forgiveness that we have in Christ. I love what the Apostle John wrote. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. That's the number one thing that God does when we sin. Then he assures us that we are children of God. You know, he sent his spirit into our hearts, and God's spirit testifies with our human spirit that we are children of God. We haven't received a spirit of fear. We've received a spirit of sonship, of adoption into the family of God. So when we sin, we start to question that. And certainly our enemy, the accuser, attacks us on that very point. Are you sure you're a Christian? Are you sure that you belong to the family of God? Are you sure that you've really accepted Jesus? And if we start listening to what our accuser says, we start to doubt. Yeah. But then God's Spirit is right there, assuring us, reassuring us, confirming, reaffirming that we indeed are children of God. Then he shows us the consequences of our sin. We so think in shallow terms when it comes to sin. It's just a transgression of the law. And we never see beyond that. We never see beyond ourselves. But the things that we do, the choices that we make, they have consequences in the lives of other people. And so he shows us that. And that sometimes can be painful. That can be hurtful because you realize, I did something to hurt my wife, the one person that I love more in this world than any other person. I've done something to hurt my kids. I've done something to hurt my fellow workers. And you say, gosh, I don't want to be involved in that. And so there's this discipline that God brings about, but that's to bring about a harvest of righteousness. Again, that's for our benefit. Then he teaches us how to say no to sin. I mean, we're in this world. Sin abounds. We get hit on the side of the face with temptation every single day, but the grace of God teaches us how to say no. Then he encourages us how to put off the old and put on the new. That's one of the things you see in Paul's writings, the book of Ephesians and Colossians. And then he's promised to work all things together for our good. The fact that we've sinned doesn't change that. He's faithful to that promise, and he's even big enough to take something so horrific as sin and work it together for our good. That's what he does. And then he continues to fulfill his promise to complete the work that he began in us. He never stops doing that. So God is actively loving us and working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Even when we sin, absolutely. Even when we sin, God continues to do these wonderful things. And I think it's important for us to understand this, Because when we know what God does when we sin, then we can figure out what we're supposed to do. And in reading this list and reading these passages of Scripture, your heart just starts to overflow with thankfulness. Lord Jesus, thank you that you stood in my place. Thank you that you saw this sin 2,000 years ago, and you willingly took it off of me and placed it on yourself, and you suffered the wrath of God so that I could be set free. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God, that you've sent your Spirit to live inside of me, and that even when I mess up, you pick me up and you just reassure me that I belong, that I am one of yours, that I am in your hands, and nothing, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And that's how we should respond. That's an attitude of faith, and that's what God is looking for. But we can only have that attitude of faith when we realize what Christ has done and what he continues to do in our lives with his love and his grace.
Absolutely. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Thanks for joining us. We have plenty of open lines. If you'd like to really join us on the phone, we would love to hear your question. 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, let's remind our listeners once again that we're only one day away from the end of our offer for the new series and study guide, Gateway to Grace, yours in July, which is just about to come to an end, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request this exciting, informative, full conference Bible study resource, go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Angie, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Angie.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
How can we help you today?
I have been a smoker for a long time, and I am trying to give up smoking. And I have had successes, and I've gone back. But the thing that bothers me is when people ask me, do I smoke, I tell them no. And then I feel a lot of remorse.
Well, because that's a lie, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not of God, right?
Right.
Right. So if you smoke, tell people you smoke. That's not the end of the world, is it?
No.
No. So what you... You know, the reason you lie is because you want people to see you in a certain light. And if you tell them you smoke, you're afraid that they're going to see you in a different light, that they're not going to respect you, or they're going to look down at you, or something along those lines. Is that right?
I guess so,
okay.
Yes.
So how do you correct that? Well, first you have to go back and ask the question, what does God think about me? Because his thoughts about you are the most important thoughts in the world, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So what does God think about you, Angie? How would you answer that?
God loves me.
Okay. He loves you. What else?
I think he wants me to stop smoking because he's given me the opportunity many times. But I haven't obeyed.
Now, why would he want you to stop smoking?
Because it's dangerous.
Okay, it's dangerous. So he wants you to stop smoking because it's beneficial to you. It's,
right.
It's not because if you don't, I'm not going to love you. If you don't, I'm not going to protect you or any of those things.
No.
It's simply for your benefit, right?
Right.
Okay. So he has taken away all your sins, Angie. Jesus Christ's blood on the cross took away all your sin, so you have received forgiveness. I'm assuming you've come to Christ by faith?
Yes.
Okay. So you've been made alive in Christ. And
yes.
now it's just a matter of saying, hey, I agree with God. This isn't good for me. I want to replace this habit with a good habit. And so I want to start doing things that are good for me and good for my health. I want to start eating better. I want to start working out. I want to start doing some things that are better for me. And so I think you need to think of it in those terms. It's not that I want to quit smoking. It's that I want to become healthy. And okay. here are the steps that I'm going to take to become healthy. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
I'm going to start walking a mile three times a week.
I walk already.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. So I think if you start thinking of it in those terms, that I want to be healthy, then you're going to have an easier time with quitting the smoking.
The lying will stop.
I think so. I mean, if you know what God thinks about you, that you're loved, that you're a child of God, that you're holy in His sight, perfect in His sight, blameless in His sight, all of those sort of things, then it really doesn't matter what other people think. You
right.
can just tell the truth. And I think in telling the truth, that's going to be refreshing to those that you know.
Okay.
I think the fears that you have, you're going to find they were unfounded.
Thank you.
Okay, Angie?
Okay.
Well, thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you some CDs I think that will be really helpful to you, okay?
Okay.
You hang on, Angie. Thanks for your call.
I will.
Well, let's go to Yonkers and talk with Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I think it's 1 Peter. I'm not sure where it is in the Bible, but I've asked several people, and they don't know exactly where it talks about when Jesus took his last breath, he descended into hell for 3 days and got the key. What does that mean?
Well, 1 Peter chapter 3 really talks about that. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. So based on that particular verse, people would say, well, in between the time of his death and in the time of his resurrection, that he went down into Hades. And we have all kinds of speculation as to what Jesus might have done down there. He went to get the keys. Some folks say he went and wrestled with Satan and finally beat him down there on his own turf, won the battle. Well, that's not true. He won the battle at the cross. The minute he said, "It is finished," the battle was won. So he didn't need to go down and beat up Satan. But I think what this passage is saying is that the Spirit has been preaching the word about Christ since the very beginning of time. He did so to the people during Noah's day, and he's doing so today. I think that's what that passage is saying. So there's nowhere where it really says that Jesus went into hell. He might have gone to announce his victory to the saints of old and to lead them.
What do you mean by the saints of old?
Like David and Moses and those folks.
Oh.
Who were looking forward to the day of the Messiah. He would have gone and announced to them that it is finished, and then would have taken them to be where he was.
Well, then why does it say in some Bibles that he went down, he descended for 3 days and got the key?
Well, I don't know where that passage is.
Yeah, it's in 1 Peter somewhere. I should have had my Bible open when I called you.
Well, the passage that I just read is what's referred to, and it doesn't say anything about him spending 3 days or getting keys in that passage. Well, Karen, we're out of time. We certainly appreciate your call. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. And friends, remember that Basic Gospel is totally listener-supported. The six-message series, Gateway to Grace, that's what we're offering for a gift of any amount during the month of July, the remainder of this month. It's a full conference and one exciting package. 6 CDs and a scripture reference note-filled study guide that address many of the questionable influences we encounter every day. Gateway to Grace, it will take you on a new covenant journey to faith and freedom, and it's a great resource for personal or group study. Use for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel during the remainder of this month of July. To request Gateway to Grace, go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And at Basic Gospel, we like social media. Hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO if you do too. Now for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.